Velita. Man, I hadn't heard that song in a long time. That's a good one. Amen. I think back sometimes, you know, you think back when you first got saved and real excited about the things of God. And I don't know how many, you know, you didn't have all the technology you have today, which, again, you didn't have iTunes. It wasn't like you could just want to hear a song, or you didn't have YouTube and say, man, I heard this song, I want to pull it up. You had to dig. You know, you couldn't go to the record store and buy stuff. You had to go to a Christian bookstore, find a CD or a cassette, right? And you'd go to a meeting, go to camp meeting or revival meeting, and boy, you'd hear, they'd have a group come and sing, and you'd hear a song, man. I mean, it was just, it'd help you. You go to meetings, hear preaching, and you'd come home. And, you know, I was talking to a preacher this week, and we were talking about the state of affairs in the church, and he travels quite a bit. And he said the difference, preacher, he's about my age, he's 50 years old. He said the difference in our generation and older and the church today, he said, is used to when the man of God would get up and preach, people would hear it and go, I need to change that. And he said, now people will take the word of God as it's preached and say, if I want to change it, then I'll change it. If not, I don't need to hear it. And I thought, you know, that's pretty accurate. We sometimes feel like we better than God know what needs to change in us. And so I remember, buddy, I mean, when I got saved, I was probably a little bit too radical because it wasn't because I wanted to be a legalist. It was because I wanted so much to please God that anything that I thought would please God, I was willing to do, you know. I remember Miss Ellen tell you this, before we got saved, we had, I don't know, hundreds of CDs, rock CDs and country CDs. And man, I went to camp meeting one night. I come home, I just got them on, threw them in the trash can, and it was like, we don't need them, you know. And so we don't have that anymore. You know, it's kind of like we have a softer, gentler Christianity that it's like, well, we want to live in the world and, you know, we want to go to heaven, but we want to have it both ways. We want to enjoy the pleasures of this life and then enjoy the blessings of heaven. And so, again, you know, I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd. You're the cream of the crop. You're here. You got, you know, there's always been a Sunday morning crowd. But it's like, you know, I saw something today, article on Sunday school and why Sunday school attendance all over the country is declining. And basically the guy said, just not important anymore. People don't want to, they don't want to learn the word of God. And so they don't want to be taught. They want to, there has to be a certain element of entertainment. You know, people posting, well, it's boring. I don't think it is, you know. Why don't people come back Wednesday night Bible study prayer? Well, it's boring. They want the choir and they want, you know, and again, it comes back to this. It's what we want. It's what we feel like we deserve, you know. And so if we're ever, as Christians in America, going to get over and see God do something amazing, we're going to have to get off of this pleasure, excitement, entertainment mindset, and realize that being a Christian is wonderful, but it does take work, and we don't want to work. And so we're content with letting the preacher and the Sunday school teacher and a handful of people, and Brother Kenneth mentioned it even in his prayers, praying for people, but, you know, it's got to be a group effort, not just laboring in the church, but laboring for the Lord. And as she sang that song, I want to be a servant for thee. And that's what it comes down to. And we don't like the word servant. We like the word royalty. We don't like the word servant. And so I would say this, that going forward, I think in 2022 as a church, we need to put our nose to the grindstone and say we need to do more. We need to do more. And whatever it takes for God to use us is what we need to do. And it'll be difficult. But, you know, I don't know how many times, Brother Matt, I've sat and talked to people and, you know, I hear the, I need to be in church and I need to be more faithful to church and I need to be there on Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I can name people that have told me that and hadn't seen them since they told me that. We got to, there's got to be some grit. Man, we live in a sissified day in society where we just need, you know, we need some grit. And people going to hurt your feelings and going to make you mad. You just shake it off and keep going, right? We're sensitive. And there's a need to a degree to be sensitive. We ought to be sensitive to people's needs. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But we don't need to be sensitive to the fact that people hurt our feelings. That's good. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Let me preach something encouraging. Amen. Some of you look at me like, preacher, come on, man. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 3. I'll say this. I'm as excited now as I've ever been. And I feel like 2022 could be the greatest year of our church's history if you and I will get on board. Amen. Not preacher and Brother Jimmy and Jose and Matt and the staff. I'm talking about all of us get on board and say we're going to give it 100% to serve God in 2022. And we're not going to get mad. We're not going to, you know, what we can say that now, but the first time you get your feelings hurt and you carry that around with you for about a year, you've extinguished that feeling. And I promise you this, if you make that commitment, the devil's going to do all he can to throw you off your game. So look at Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 20 and verse number 21. Now watch this. The Bible said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Do you see that? We see, first of all, the Bible says, unto him, right? That is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we know that's talking about the Lord. Can we agree there? Now you notice as we continue in that scripture, according to the power that worketh in us. So it's not that God is somewhere off in eternity space dictating the affairs of man. The Bible tells me that this same power that we look and say, well, God can do all things and I can do all things through Christ and he does abundantly above all that we ask or think, right? That's true. But the Bible says that same power is within me. And so I'll say this, we live below our privilege. We live a life that is below our privilege. As we go on verse 21, the Bible said, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. Is that in your Bible? It's in mine. So the Bible tells me in verse 20 that God can do all things above, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. That's there, right? So he can do it. He will do it. But in verse 21, he tells us why he does it. Not for your benefit, not simply for mine. He does it for his glory, so that you and I will glorify him. And so this evening, I want to just share a thought with you on this thought, God's abundance. Because I think too often I see in God's people, and I'm not preaching some off-the-wall idea, and I know we face trials and tribulation, okay? So don't turn me off saying, preacher, you just don't know what you're saying, because if that's true, we never go through anything, and I'm going through a lot, and I'm always have problems, and I always have health issues, and I always have emotional issues. I get that. What I'm saying is that you and I have an untapped power in our relationship with God, that the Bible says he is able, right, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Now that's a big God. And so tonight, it is like someone who has all the resources of the world but chooses to live in poverty. That's where a lot of Christians are. You have all the resources to live for God and live an abundant life, but instead you choose to live in spiritual poverty. And God can't fix that, because you have to want to be different for God to do above and beyond what you think or ask. He's able, right? But in order for him to do it, there must be that co-laboring, that partnership of us desiring God to do it and us doing our part and God doing. Listen, every promise in the Bible is a you do this, I do this, right? God's saying, all right, if you do this, here's my promise. If you do this, I will reciprocate with this blessing. So tonight, some of you are looking at me because we've gotten in this mindset of just struggling through. I'm struggling through. Nothing goes right for me. Everything's always bad. I can't get ahead. Little man can't get ahead. We bought into that. And so the Lord can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He can. So what is God wanting in our life? Servitude, absolutely. But here's what I would say, right? I was listening to a podcast the other day, this guy, and he was saying this, good Christian guy, he deals with a lot of troubled youth, and he said, every parent that I know, if they have the ability, wants their kids to have it better than they had it. Yeah, I'm that way. My kids have things I didn't have. I had things that my parents didn't have, right? That is the natural affection of a parent to say, you know, and don't get me wrong, my life was not bad. It wasn't difficult. It wasn't, no, I'm not complaining. But there are areas in my life that I look and say, I want my kids to have this better than I did. And I'm sure my parents looked at their life and said, here's something I want to give to my children that was not able to give to me, right? That's where we are. So why are we living in a spiritual sense like we serve a God if we're willing to do that, right? And even Jesus said, if you know how to give, you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more does your Father right? That's what he said. So I'm saying that you and I are living in a place that we are a lot because that's where we choose to be. Now I get we can't, you know, Miss Sheila could not have said, well, I don't want this breast cancer and so therefore I'm not going to have it. I get that, okay? So don't get me with the, well, I didn't choose it. But a lot of what we are doing and where we are is our choosing. And the things that we can't control, we're choosing to react to them in a certain way. Can we agree there? And so we can have more than enough through the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say we're going to live in mansions and have, you know, drive $100,000 cars. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I see this defeat, not just here, but I'm talking about with God's people in general. I'm seeing a defeat. I'm seeing it in the church as a whole, in Christianity. And I'll say this, church, you are the cream of the crop, okay? But even in your life, you have to ask yourself, am I really living the life that God wants me to live? Or am I living a life that's defeated, clinging on to my Christianity in hopes of someday getting to heaven? Or am I really living the best life that I can live for the Lord today? That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you won't have struggles. I'm not saying you won't have problems. I'm not saying that things won't come into your life. I'm saying that it is how we deal with them. Yeah? Because if something doesn't change in some of your lives, and please don't misunderstand me, I'm not talking down to you, I'm trying to help you, because I see it in God's people in general. If something doesn't change, many of you won't be here a year from now. Or some of you, I won't say many, some. Because the weight's too heavy. How can you say that, preacher? Because I've been doing this long enough to see folks, when the weight gets heavy, something's got to give, right? And if you and I don't learn how to deal with that pressure and that weight, what's going to happen is you'll fall under the load. And the Lord tells us that we are to cast our cares on Him, yet we don't do it. So here's what I want to share with you in God's abundance tonight, okay? Just a couple things. What abundance does God give us? Because He's able, that's what our Bible says, but will He give it to us? So what does God give us in abundance? Well, first of all, abundant pardon. Now I want you to go back with me to your salvation. That is an abundant pardon. When you look at what you did and what I did, how we offended the law of God, how we offended the Word of God, how we offended God, the fact that God would pardon us is abundant. In other words, we can't understand why God would pardon us if you'd be honest. Because I'll be honest with Brother Jose. Many times I'll look and say, God, I don't understand this. I don't know why you would want me. Because I look at this guy every day in the mirror. I know what goes through my mind. I know what I've done. Yet God desires me. And God desires you. So the fact is, we can't understand why God would pardon us, because I wouldn't pardon you and you wouldn't pardon me. But then we can't understand how God could pardon us. I understand the cross. I understand substitutionary death of Christ. He died in my place. But I don't understand it. I don't understand how God can be satisfied with the blood of Jesus Christ for all mankind, when what really we deserve is absolutely no pardon at all. I don't see how God could choose to pardon us and choose to put our sin behind Him, to never bring it up again. I don't understand that. Yet I'm extremely excited and extremely thankful for that. See, when we think of the abundant pardon of the Lord, it ought to make us thankful. In other words, no matter what anybody else does to you or says to you or treats you or writes on your Facebook or whatever it is, no matter what they do, there is a God in heaven that should condemn you that chose to pardon you. And so you're that special in the eyes of God that He saw something in you that you and I don't even see in ourselves and the world may not see, but He's saved us to be vessels of honor for Him. And as you walk out of here tonight, I want you to hold your head up high, not because you're something special to this world, but because God thinks you're something special, and He thinks you're worthy enough to pardon you. No matter what this world tells you, they may not say you're good enough at work. They may not say you're good enough at school. They may not say you're good enough in society. They may call you a nut job because of your guns and God. But I'll say this, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in His abundance, has pardoned you. Not only that, it is beyond our comprehension, it is beyond comparison. Now hang on. See, because we pat ourselves on the back, because we forgive someone who has wronged us. Brother Eddie, and it only had to be anything big. We've been wronged. Look how much like Jesus I am because I have forgiven them. I've not forgotten. I've not allowed them a second chance, but I have forgiven them. What have you really done? When you look at what the Lord did for you, please tell me how much like Jesus you are when you have forgiven them, but you carry a grudge against them. Amen. Good preaching. See, part of the reason you can't live an abundant life is because you won't let your past go, but you won't let the past of others go either. You want your sins under the blood, but you don't want other people's under the blood. Amen. Good preaching. So there's something dragging you behind. There's a weight behind you. Oh, yeah, and you say, well, I understand. I'm so thankful the Lord has forgiven me. But you do realize that person that you won't forgive, he's forgiven them too. You do realize maybe the reason the devil keeps bringing up your past is because you keep bringing up somebody else's past. Getting real quiet now. See, there's some people that feel good about themselves by bringing up the past of others. So what I'm saying is we're patting ourselves on the back because we have let something go or we've chosen to forgive somebody. Whoop-de-doo. You're not a super saint because of this small offense that someone offended you. I've been offended, yet I have forgiven them. Look how much like Jesus I am. You didn't hang on a cross for them. You didn't shed your blood. You didn't say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. You didn't die for your enemies. Amen. You would not accept your enemies and shed your blood so they could spend eternity with you. I mean, the fact is, your little forgiveness that you gave them is not even about them. It's about you. Makes you feel super saintly. But Jesus saved you, and you were the enemy of God. And he not only saved you to keep you out of hell, he saved you because he loved you enough to want to spend eternity with you. Am I making some sense? I'm saying if you want to live a better life than you are, if you want to live an abundant life, you got to let your past go, but you got to let some other people's past go too. And by the way, it don't do you a lot of good to talk about how much you've let go on social media and how you've forgiven all. Dude, man, that's, you know what that is? That's pride. Do it in secret. Amen. Do it in secret to the guy at Walmart. You forgave him on Facebook. Praise God, how saintly you are. Won't you go to the guy that cut you off, track him down and say, oh, I forgive you. Tim, we're so hypocritical. We're so silly. We're silly people. People hold grudges for years, Brother Ronnie, over stuff it doesn't even matter, man. You can't understand why you don't have an abundant life, why you don't have victory, why you don't have joy. Because you leave stuff. Well, it's back there in the past. I left it at the altar. Then you go to the altar and you drag it up and carry it with you. You walk like this. Let it go. When you think of the abundant pardon God gave you, you could forgive everybody of everything for the rest of your life and still not match what God forgave you of. Hallelujah, praise God. So let's start living like it. Stop letting stuff drag you back. It's beyond comparison. And then it's beyond condemnation. What do you mean, preacher? Once God pardons us, it's finished. It's over. Brother Marty, it's done. Satan will try to bring it up again. God has eternally pardoned us. And our penalty has been removed. So we see the abundant pardon, but then number two, watch this, the abundant life. What does that mean? Well, let me ask you this. How many of you in this auditorium, now I want you to think hard, you want to live a miserable life? How many? Come on. Anybody? Then why do you choose to? You just said you don't want a miserable life. So the Bible says to know that unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The word abundance means this: great plenty, more than enough, where there's no more room. Do you want to have an abundant life? Jesus said he came to give life and give it what? more abundantly. So God is not wanting us to simply struggle through. Again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about you'll never have financial problems, health problems. I'm talking about your attitude. I'm talking about your mindset. I'm talking about your relationship with God, the inner man. You can have all the struggles of life. You look at some of the POWs of the past, how they got through it. They transformed their mind into something different. Now, when you start feeling bad about yourself, think about those POWs that were being tortured and were in prison camps, yet they never gave up hope. How did they do that? Many of them turned to the Lord. And so if it's good enough for them in what they've gone through, and we look at the saints of the Bible, and it's good enough for them, why is it not good enough for us? What does that abundant life look like? Now, I'm gonna mess you up, okay? Watch. It's an enjoyable life. Do you get that? An enjoyable life. So Christians need to tell their face that they can enjoy life. God gave us life for service, yes. But he also gave us life to enjoy. Enjoy. I'm not talking about worldly enjoyment. I'm not talking about fleshly enjoyment. I'm talking about God's grace is to be enjoyed. It is to fulfill your life. It is to give you what you need. See, you cannot get what you need from a person. Listen to me. That's why many marriages are miserable, because they're wanting their spouse to give them what only God can give them. They do not have relationship with the Lord, so they put that pressure on their spouse and said, you're not meeting my needs. You don't do this, you don't do this. Yet, they have no relationship with God. They have no fellowship with God. And so they're expecting that person to step in the place of God, and they can't do it. And so they say, my marriage is horrible, it's terrible, I don't enjoy it, I want a new one. But if you do it with the next one, you'll get the same results. See, people want to enjoy their job, yet they don't enjoy their job. You say, well, if I had this and I didn't have to work so hard and I made more money and et cetera. Well, there are people that do that, they don't enjoy their job. See, unless you do it heartily unto the Lord, you will not enjoy what you do. And so God's grace is to be enjoyed. We have trials, but our joy comes through Christ's power in our life. Listen, you cannot rob someone who is walking with God of their joy. And so God's people in the day we live of 2021 going into 2022, you better find your fellowship with God or you'll never have it. You're not going to find joy on the news. You won't find joy in your paycheck, because I promise you this, you're definitely not going to find joy at the grocery store. So if you're going to have joy, it's going to have to be inward joy that comes from walking with God. Okay? You say, well, if my children would do this, or if my spouse would do this. No, you're putting all your joy and your enjoyment on someone else to fulfill that, and they'll not ever do it. My children bring me joy. What happens when they don't? I live for my children. I live for my job. I live for my spouse. I live for my home. You're living for the wrong thing. All those things God gives you for enjoyment and fulfillment, but they're not what life is about. And when it becomes about that, and they become the idols in your life, God may cause you to despise the very things that he put in your life to enjoy. So enjoy God in life with him. It's not only an enjoyable life, it's an energetic life. Vibrant. You think God wants you to be miserable? You think God wants this deflation of your life? No. He wants you to have an energetic life. He wants you to have this vibrant life. Serving God brings excitement. You ever thought maybe the reason things are not exciting in your life is because you don't do enough for God? Let me help you with something. Sitting at home watching TV is boring. Right? It's boring. I just want to relax. I just need a vacation. I know, Brother Junior, I know Christians take vacation like every other weekend. And their life is still boring. Oh, I'd like to try it out, preacher. I don't think it would be. They're going and they're saying, if I just had more relaxation, if I just had more time at the beach or in the mountains, or if I could just travel, I'd love to travel all the time. It'd be so fulfilling. It wouldn't be. You'd get bored. Sitting at home is boring. Serving God is not. I don't know any time, Brother Kenneth, I've ever been out knocking on doors or it's been boring. I don't know any time that I've ever gone somewhere to preach that's been boring. I don't know any time I've ever gone on a mission trip it's been boring. You say, well, it's easier. You say, preach, you get to travel and go to all these neat places. Well, you got a bank account, don't you? Maybe you're bored with Myrtle Beach just because you've been there 484 times. Maybe you get on a plane, go out and help a missionary for a week and actually do something productive for the Lord instead of taking pictures of your naked legs in the ocean. You might find some more enjoyment. Hey, man. I'm going to end up getting a lot of trouble tonight, aren't I? Exciting. Serving God should be exciting. You think Paul was bored? No, sir. Man, everywhere he went, he was trying to figure out how to stay out of jail. That's exciting. But you know what we do? Sunday morning, come dragging in church. Why are you late? I stayed up too late last night. Where's you at Sunday school? I just couldn't get up in time. I'm so sorry. I just couldn't get up. It's so hard for me to get up. Not hard for you to get up on Monday. You get up and go to work. Right? I'd sing in choir, but preacher, I just can't get here at 4 o'clock to be at choir practice. Because you're not excited about it. Well, if the choir would sing this, I'd be excited. It's not about what the choir sings. It's about who you're singing for. Right? I'd be honest with you, I'd be back on Wednesday night, but it's just hard for me to get here on Wednesday night. Kids got school. We get home late. You know what? I remember days when they'd have revival, Miss Bonnie, and people get off of work, and they'd say, oh, we're not going to be able to eat tonight, but we're going to revival. Praise God. Yes. Let's be honest, Baptist folk. It ain't going to hurt us to miss a meal. So you know what we do? Boring. We don't want to read a book about how God has done amazing things in people's lives. You know what we want to do? We want to scroll and live our life through other people. Look at that. Look at that vacation. Oh, wow. Look at what they're having for breakfast. Oh, amazing. Right? Why? Because your life is boring. Enjoy life. Get out and do something. Get out and be energetic. Listen, being saved is pretty exciting, right? It ought to be exciting. It shouldn't be boring. So living for God should be the highlight of life. It's not about I got to go to church. It is I get to live for God every single day of my life. If you'll get up and look in the mirror and say, God loves me, and so therefore I want to show him how I love him, and I want to tell others how I love him, and I want to live my life today to serve God, all of a sudden things start changing. But then it's an enabled life. God gives us the ability to live an abundant life. He gives you the ability. You can't do it. The Bible said here, watch. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's the abundant life, right? Watch. According to the power that worketh in us. Interesting. So you're, does that say that you got to be a preacher to be able to do that? Sunday school teacher, deacon, bus worker? No, it doesn't say that. The same power that's in me is the same power that's in you. Same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that you and I have. Now tell me again why you can't do it. Tell me again why you got to be miserable. Tell me again why your life stinks and is boring and you hate everything about it and it's not enjoyable. Tell me why. The same power. You think? Let me ask this. I'll close with this. You think Jesus' life was boring? Man, he got up in the morning. He went, another cup of coffee. No. Man, he got up. He prayed the night before. Sometimes prayed all night. Went on his journey. Served God. Met people. Right? You know this? God wants you to meet people. Right? God wants you. Did Jesus meet people? Did he just hang around his 12 disciples and nobody else? No. Everywhere he went, he met people. People had needs. He went to this town. They had needs. He'd do what he had to do there. Move on to the next town. Meet their needs. Move on to the next town. Met the woman at the well. Met the leper. Met the man at the pool. His life wasn't boring. So why does yours have to be? Because we choose it. If you're miserable tonight, if you're looking ahead and going, it's just so awful, things are so bleak and things are so terrible and I don't know how we're going to get through it, you're in this little category here that we all get in there, the pity party category. But you don't have to be, because he tells us right here, the same power that can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think is right here. It's all in outlook. It's all in perspective. It's all in what you enjoy, right? I just enjoy watching my children play ball. But what happens when they don't play ball? And ask my mother, every game, Brother Jimmy, I don't know that she ever missed a game, or if she did, it wasn't many. In all the years I played ball, she traveled across the country. She traveled to different states every weekend. We were playing ball somewhere. Well, if her only enjoyment is watching me play ball, guess what? She doesn't enjoy being around me now because I'm not playing. What about that? You better find in your life that you enjoy serving God, because that's the one thing you can do from now till you draw your last breath. He wants to give us an abundant life, but it has to be his version of it, not yours. Listen, some of you tonight, you need to, I'll tell you the best thing you can do tonight. Stop looking at all the stuff you don't have, all the problems you got. Come to this altar tonight. All the unforgiveness you've got, all the bitterness, all the junk going on that you won't let things go. Drop it off. Walk back to your seat and say, that's the last time I'm messing with it. And get your eyes on the Lord. If you'll get your eyes on the Lord, drop your junk off at the altar, start living for God, amen, you can have an abundant life. Amen. Other than that, you can't do it. Because there's no day that's going to be perfect. There's no life that's going to be perfect. There's no, if this happens, this happens, this happens, my life's going to be perfect. Won't happen. Never happened. The life God gives you is the life he wants you to live. And you got to choose to live it for him. That's the abundant Christian life. Let's stand together. Stand together, bow our heads. The altar's open tonight.